Isn't it nice to be inside today? Amen. Just thinking, my church in Guatemala, the wind's blowing in between the walls and the ceiling, and tin, probably raining. All wet, no way to get warm. Plastic chairs are cold, kind of damp. Here we are. Problem is, I got too hot in here when I came in. I noticed everyone was falling asleep. At least 78 is too high. I turned it down. Well, I got two little bitty messages. Two little bitty tiny ones. See how long we can get going here. This message actually came to me from a big failure I had once. I got by some Mormons once. Got by some Mormons. We were walking, me and my wife and Pasco, and saw some Mormons over there, and I knew they were going to want to talk to me, so I kind of head down that street, and hey, they said, come on over here, you know, we just been married, kind of want to show my wife how the West was won and everything, seminary student, you know, those types, and they said, so we started going at it, and I went to the thief on the cross, the malefactor on the cross, showed him, look what he did, get to heaven. Everything it says right there, today you'll be with me where? In paradise. Paradise, okay. And he said, well, that's very interesting there. But he acted like, well, how do you know if paradise is heaven? I'm like, oh, I got a verse for that. You guys know where a verse like that is? It's in 2 Corinthians 12, I think. 1 Corinthians 12. I look at it real quick. 1 Corinthians 12. Make sure I'm at the right place. It's a good thing to know. I have to use it with the JWs all the time, too. It's 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 2, it says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the, what? Third heaven, okay. What's third heaven? Or the first heaven? First heaven is where the snow's coming from, right? Second heaven is where the astronauts go, right? Third heaven, where God is. All right, 1, 2, 3. It's easy, right? In verse 4, they throw the word paradise in there. How that he was caught up into where? Paradise. So there you go. Paradise is where? Third heaven. Easy, right? And he says, oh, well, that's interesting. He said, but I got a question for you. I said, shoot. He says, how come Mary Magdalene, when Jesus appeared to her, said, Jesus told her, don't touch me yet, because I have not yet ascended unto my Father. Guys, how many of you guys know what you would say, right? Then, besides Pastor Seeley, I'm sure he's. Ken knows. Kupiets know. How many of you will think that's a really good question? I'm glad you're going to tell me. You guys, you don't know what you would say. Yeah, that was me. I told him there's a really good answer to that one, but I don't know what it is. And I'm sure that Mormon thinks he got that seminary student so good. Anyways, so I wanted to explain that to you. We're going to look here in John. John 14. John 14. It's really, really increases my faith, like it does everyone, when things fit together in the Bible. And all the Bible, it kind of just, one verse against another verse, it just kind of is like a great big structural design that reinforces our belief. And that's what the Bible should do. That's why it's important to read the Bible. Realize how all these verses fit together. Let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, ye know the way. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, what? Guys with me here? Guys falling asleep. I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and also have seen him. So, Jesus is the what? Jesus is the what? Come on, guys, wake up. Jesus is the what?
The way.
The way. Okay, here we are. Jesus is the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, that it makes sense. And please help us to know what we believe and to know you more. And not just be content that we're saved and on our way to heaven and just leave it at that. And pray that you help the pastor get better soon. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is the way. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't send you to go do something that he hasn't done first? Yep, go do that job. And you feel terrible when someone tells you to go do something. They're too lazy to do it themselves. They're just sending you to do that. So I got some pictures set up here. Brother John, can we have the first one here? To kind of help us realize how Jesus is the way. So I got here. We got Jesus dying on the cross, and we got a Christian dying here, right? Jesus is the way. We know what Jesus died on the cross. Look at it, Mark 15. Mark 15. Mark 15. Verse 34. Mark 15, 34, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it in a reed, and gave it him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come and take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. So here we got Jesus dying on the cross. And also, you guys know a verse that we're all going to die? Jesus doesn't come back soon. You guys know a verse about that? Appointed unto man what? Wants to die. We all die. Jesus all died. We all die as well. What came next after Jesus died? Next one, Jonathan. Next one, Jesus went into the tomb. We know that, right? Let's look at it here. In 1543, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a great stone unto the door of the sepulchre. So they put Jesus into the tomb and into the earth. And what do they usually do with humans as well? Do they die? They bury them. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, right? We go to whence we came. So, notice that this is, right now, the body of Jesus, okay? Jesus is the way. Jesus went before us. And we're following the body of Jesus right now. Then what happened 3 days later? He rose again. Can I have the next one, Jonathan? Next one, Jesus rose again, didn't he? And he went and showed himself to the Father. Let's look here at John 20:17. John 20:17. John 20:17. Here we have that verse that Mormon got me with. John 20:17 says, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So 3 days later, Jesus gets back into his body, and then he rises up and shows himself to who? Is with me? Who? Oh, he comes back. Yeah, he does that first, and then he rises up to show himself to who? The Father. And we're going to do something kind of like that as well. I don't know quite how the mechanics are, but trumpet sounds, and all those that are dead, what happens to them? Their spirit, which is in heaven, kind of sounds funny saying it, you know? It gets in their body, and they're changed, they're transformed, and let's look at it here. 1 Corinthians 15:51. I can't explain it, but we can read about. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye stand fast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. You don't have to read all that, but just once you get started on that verse, that passage, you can't stop until you get to the end. It's exciting. So we're all going to be changed. Don't know how it's all going to work, but our old bodies are going to be changed, and then we'll forever be with the Lord. Now, what happens next? And the next one, Jonathan. Jesus went up to heaven, showed himself to the Father, didn't he? Right? He showed him, said, Father, I don't know what he said, but you know, says showed him the bodily, his payment. He went there. We're going to get to the spirit part. Okay, just a minute. All right, just hold your horses on the spirit. But and when we're just tracking Jesus' body right now. And he shows himself to the Father. And then he comes back down and shows himself to the disciples. We see here in John 20:19. Now he's letting the disciples, he's like, hey, guys, touch me. See, look at me. Before, he was telling Mary Magdalene to not touch him because he hadn't shown himself physically to the Father yet. Now he's saying, guys, see the nails? Look at them. See here in John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus comes back down and shows himself to the disciples. And what are we going to do after we go up to heaven? Say the rapture happens right now. All the dead in Christ have been saved. Their bodies get changed. And then, 7 years later, what are we going to do? We're going to come back down. We're going to come back down and we're going to be on this world for how long? 1,000 years, what we call the millennium. 1,000 years. And we're going to see this here in Revelation. Let's go to Revelation 20, verse 1. Revelation 20, verse 1. Revelation 20, verse 1 says, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So there we are, ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, people that weren't saved, live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, those that are saved. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we're going to come back down for 1,000 years. And then what happens? Then what do we do after that? And after Jesus came down and showed himself to the disciples, how long was he around with the disciples? You guys know how long he was here with the disciples? How many days? 40 days. So look here in Acts 1. Acts 1. Yeah, the next one there, Jonathan. Acts 1. Acts 1:1. Former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with him, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So after 40 days, Jesus ascended up back to heaven. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? After the millennium, it says here what we're going to do. Let's go look at Revelation 21 now. Revelation 21. Verse 1 says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So like I said, I don't understand the mechanics of this, how it's going to work out, right? But I knew one thing, this one here is going to get destroyed. And we're not going to be on it, I don't think, when that happens. So up, sideways, I don't know which way we go. But we're off of this one, okay? So if we don't go vertical at all, you can tell me and I'll apologize back then, okay? If we just scoot over to the other one or whatever, I'll apologize. I don't know how it's, but we're going off of this one onto the new heaven. And then, I think I have one more. Do I have one more there, Jonathan? There we go, yeah. After Jesus went up to heaven, we're waiting for him now to what? Come back, right? Yeah, he's coming back. Still believe that? Good. And we're going to come back here in verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And we come back down to not this old earth, but the new heaven and new earth. So, we see that Jesus is the way, and we're going to follow just like that. Now, we're going to look at focus now. Now, here it kind of gets a little confusing because Jesus' spirit does come back to his body right there, I guess. But we're going to look at just the spirit side right now to answer the question on why did Jesus say, don't touch me yet, I haven't yet ascended, and why did he tell the malefactor, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Remember the next one there, Jonathan? Okay, so now we're going to look at the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of the Christian. Okay, you guys still following with me? Are you totally confused and think I'm preaching heresy here? I got a blessing out of it and really cleared some things up with me. And it was really neat to me to see this. Anyways, so Jesus died. Let's look at it, Luke 23. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which are hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. 23:40 now. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. My dad would say, we both got zeros, but Jesus, he has 100. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You notice, the malefactor isn't saying, hey, Lord, you know, let me go to purgatory or to Abraham's bosom or something. He wasn't, you know, he's like, I want to go with you. I don't know where you're, I want to go to your kingdom. And just imagine if this guy had asked to go with Jesus to his kingdom, and Jesus like, no, I'm just going to send you to somewhere else besides heaven, you know. Wouldn't be a very nice thing for Jesus, and something Jesus totally would not do. But Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So that day, Jesus told him, today you're going to be with me in heaven in paradise. But then that Mormon, he said, well, where's paradise, you know? You got Paul, who's having some sort of apparition. Even Paul admitted that he didn't know where he was. And here we got Jesus, you know, telling Mary that, you know, I haven't yet ascended, so who are you going to believe, you know, Jesus or Paul there having, you know, something out of body out experience and not even knowing where he was. Well, Jesus' spirit that day went to heaven. Can we see the next slide there, Jonathan? And as a Christian, you guys know a verse that says that we go to heaven after we die? You guys know any verses like that? Let's look at it. Look at one here. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, talking about our body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with what? Hands, eternal in the heavens. And I was looking at this yesterday. I got a blessing out of this. How are we formed? Us humanoids, how are we formed? What did God use to form us? Yeah, but what did he use to make us? He used his hands, didn't he? Didn't he use his hands? Formed us out of the dirt with his hands? He spoke all the animals into existence and they existed by us. He used his hands to form us. Our bodies. But what does it say here? If our earthly house gets dissolved, we have a building not made with hands. God's word. We are born again by what? By God's word. Not made with hands. Our spirit was formed by God's word. Isn't that cool? I thought it was last night. Eternal in the heavens. So, and then we're going to see the one you're probably thinking of here in verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So absent from the body, our spirit is what? Present with the Lord. So that Christian dies, he is, next breath, he's breathing up in heaven in his spirit, right? And Jesus that day went up to heaven in his spirit, right? Okay, so then what did Jesus do after that? And the next one there, Jonathan? Oh, I forgot one thing too that kind of reinforces this in the Luke. I saw this as well, and I thought that just reinforced in verse 46. You guys know it. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my what? Spirit. Commit my spirit. And having said that, he gave up the ghost. And so Jesus' spirit went to heaven. The Christian spirit goes to heaven as well. And then, the third day, Jesus comes back into his body. We read this in Matthew 28:1. Matthew 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. So Jesus, his spirit, comes back into his body there. He's reunited with his body. And we also, what do we do? We're going to come back down into our body, right? Can I have the next one there, Jonathan? And real fast, boom, boom. Just like that. Go back up to heaven. And just like Jesus did as well, he got back into his body and showed his body to the Father. So, to answer that Mormon's questions, I should have said, well, yeah. His body had not yet ascended to the Father, but him, his spirit, along with that malefactor spirit, that day went to heaven, right? That's what I should have told him, but I didn't. Now you guys know what to tell him. I was one smart Mormon. I was not expecting that. So anyways, got a blessing to me. I saw that. And let's turn the lights back on. And I, also another thing I was thinking of, what we saw there, and what was it? That first verse we went to said, Jesus is the way, truth, and life. Is that in John 14? Jesus talked about knowing him. And Brother Nathan also talked about knowing God. One of those last verses he was quoting there in 2 Corinthians 10, I believe. Is that what it was? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the what? Knowledge of God. So the thing is we got a lot of things conflicting with the knowledge of God. We got a lot of things distracting us from the knowledge of God. And, you know, we kind of think that getting saved is like the most, you know, once we get saved, then let's turn our lives into autopilot and start focusing on more important things like, you know, making money and life and all that stuff. But for God, getting saved, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning there. Tell me this, kids. It's a good question for you. How are we saved? Are we saved by knowing God or being known by God? It's okay if you get it wrong. I got it wrong for a long time. Are we saved by knowing God or being known by God? Remember, a bunch of people showed up before God on Judgment Day, and they said, Lord, have we not cast, I'm going to quote it bad, Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? In thy name have we cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never, what? Knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So God did not what? Them? God did not know them. They were unsaved because God did not know them. Did they know about God? Sure looks like. They preached about him, didn't they? Cast out demons, did a lot of miracles in his name. They knew a lot about God. But God did not know them. Verse that people, I don't sign Bibles. My name, I'll just write down this verse. Nahum 1:7. I'm getting there. I think if I signed it, I should know where it is. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he what? Oh, not there. And he knoweth them that trust in him. So once someone deposits their faith in Christ only, what does God say? I know him. Yep, me and William. Yep, we know each other pretty good. The moment you put your trust, God knows you. But that's where a lot of people just, oh, God knows me. That's good. Don't need to worry about knowing him anymore. Yeah, there's a lot of people that they know a lot about Jesus, the Bible, but are not known of God because they never trusted him. And there's others. Baptist churches all over, people that are saved in other churches as well. And they got saved. They trusted Christ as their Savior. They're known by God, but never know him like they should know him. Let's look here in 1 John 2:3 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. But whoso keepeth his word, to him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk even as he walked. So the more we know God, the more we know what he likes, the more we're going to act like him, won't we? Ever have, you know, get to know your wife or your husband, and you get to know what they like and start doing the things that they like. That's how it works. A lot of people, they're just fine. You know, you ever go on, you know, you're trying to download an app or use some program online or buy something, and they throw up that bunches and bunches of fine print. You ever see those? And that little check mark up there that you're like, oh man, I hope I'm not signing my life and my kids away when I push this click here, click this box here. But I really want to use this program. I don't know what I'm going to do. And yes, I acknowledge all the terms and conditions, and you check that, and you don't even read it. And I hope for the best. And just let me use the program already, you know? And a lot of us, we get saved. Okay, yeah, I'll get saved. And you know, you become a Christian. You accept it, but you have no idea what it is that Christ asks of us, or what idea what he likes from us. Let's look here in Philippians 3:8. Says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the what? Knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may what? Know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I'll say, I want to know him. I've been known by him. He knows me, but I want to know him. It's what we need to be. We need to not be satisfied with letting all these other knowledge, and you know, our flesh really wants to know all these other things, doesn't it? And I'll be reading news and reading this and reading all kinds of stuff that just what Brother Nathan was preaching against. Things, I'm going to have to read that again. Going against my imagination. I'm just going to shut up. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What are you saying there about every thought? We look at those bad guys there in Psalms 10, like, oh, those are really creepy people. I was reading Psalms 10 the other day, and I went back and reread it, and I remembered, I saw some things in there, and I was looking at those losers there in Psalms 10, and then what you said there about they didn't have God in all their thoughts. Well, I don't have God in all my thoughts either. It wasn't just that God wasn't in any of their thoughts. That's not how it said. God wasn't in any of their thoughts. Yeah, God's in a lot of my thoughts. God wasn't in all of their thoughts. Yikes. Let's finish here in 2 Timothy 1:12. Do you know who in whom you have believed? Or did you just believe? Believe in him. Get me to heaven, Lord. I don't want to know anything else about you. Just get me there. Or do you know whom in whom you have believed? 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please forgive me in the ways that I've thought of other things to imagine, take up my imagination, take up my thoughts, and trying to learn about all these other things that are my flesh finds interesting. But Lord, please help me to know you, to know all I can about you through your word, and not just be satisfied that I'm going to heaven, that I'm saved, and that I'm known of you, but to know you as much as I can, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name.